Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Magic the Amateuring. What number episode is it? Well, you're just going to have to go back to the beginning and count yourself, because numbers are eluding me today.
173.
Oh, well, thank you.
But please, go back to the beginning and count for yourself, because that would be really interesting to me. If somebody did that, I would like to see that kind of diligence, you know?
Yes, that sort of fact-checking.
Mm-hmm. Keep us honest, you know?
Finding. Yeah.
It's probably not right, actually.
Really?
Because I feel like sometimes in the beginning we record a special and we didn't count it in our numbering system. Or maybe we did. I don't know. See, this is what I'm saying. I don't know.
Wow, this is super interesting. I always thought, you know, my world has just been shaken now because I thought that I knew the facts. I thought I understood the reality in which I lived.
Yeah.
But it turns out that what are facts except things that we tell each other?
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
What is a fact but a word with some other words?
Exactly.
And what is a word, you know, but some random collection of syllables that we have given arbitrary meaning?
Yeah, and what are syllables but a collection of letters?
And what are letters?
Except a collection of lines.
And what are lines?
Except points with shit between them.
And what is shit but something that comes out your butt?
Nope. Oh,
well,
man.
Well, I mean,
I thought we were having a really philosophical discussion there.
No matter what, it all comes back to poop. You try and have any kind of philosophical discussion, Megan, it's all going to come back to poop in the end.
I feel like I would have liked my philosophy class better in college had it all come back to poop. Instead, it always comes back to old white dudes.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say your mother, you know.
No, that's psychology. Yeah. But it's interesting that your mind went there, Maria. I wonder what that means about you.
Yeah. Unresolved issues.
Yeah. Well, despite what you may be thinking right now, this is a podcast about Magic the Gathering.
Welcome. We're going to talk all about Magic. In fact, we're going to talk about it so much, you might be like, whoa, slow down. That's a lot of Magic coming in my ear canals. I need a break, but no, you're not going to get one.
I am one of your hosts. My name is Megan.
I'm Maria, one of your other hosts.
There's a third host.
Yep.
Ghost host.
Ghost host. What's up, ghost host? High five. Yeah. Can't do it. I mean, it's kind of
rude. Ghost host never high fives
me. For me to ask that. Well, I mean, they can't. They physically can't.
But, like, he tries.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, anyways.
It's kind of rude for
you guys, the logistics of having a ghost in your life are, like, pretty difficult.
It's really hard. But, you know, I think it's made us better people because now we know how to react, you know.
It really like helps deepen your understanding of life and afterlife.
And the afterlife. I mean, just the fact that there is an afterlife is quite comforting, even if it is just hosting podcasts about magic.
Absolutely. So this week on Magic the Amateuring, we're going to talk a little bit about brewing, what it means to brew a deck, why you would brew a deck, what you would brew it with.
Do you just have to do it in your basement while wearing suspenders and big rimmed glasses? No,
do you have to be a witch? No, you don't.
No, you don't, but you can still brew.
Do you need to... Nope, I'm done.
Yeah, brewing. What the heck is brewing? I remember when I started playing Magic, I didn't even understand the term. So we're going to talk about it a little bit because Megan and I have been doing quite a bit of brewing recently because of the Community Super League, which is something you should be watching if you're not on twitch.tv every Thursday night, 5 p.m. Pacific. We're going to talk about the Community Super League coming up here as well as the Vintage Super League tiny little bit later on in the show.
Also, the MOX, the Magic Online Championship, which happened this past weekend in Seattle. 13 players, 12 players, 15, some number of players.
1,000 players went at it.
Who have won different Magic Online MOX qualifying events gathered in Seattle, and they battled it out across 3 days and four different formats.
Playing only Magic Online.
Absolutely.
I mean,
because I heard that if they touch paper cards, their hands disintegrate.
Yep, it's a clause they have to sign going into the tournament. Yes. I will not touch a paper Magic card this entire time. If I do, I understand.
My hands will disintegrate.
Will rot and fall off my body. It's a pretty harsh consequence, but you know what? They like to keep them honest.
They really do. We're going to talk today about brewing.
For the noobs!
Absolutely. So... I've been saying absolutely a lot lately.
I know. I was going to tell you.
I'm really upset with myself about it.
Oh, I was... I'm upset at myself for not telling you because I noticed it and I was like, I got to tell Megan.
Yeah. No, but I've been noticing myself, so you didn't have to tell me.
Well, that's good. See, that's the first step.
Yeah.
It's like it's your
It is my
So just concentrate. Instead of saying absolutely, catch yourself and don't say anything and it'll be fine.
Okay, I'll just leave awkward pauses between everything.
You don't say that much.
Perfect. I'm going to leave awkward pauses in between everything.
All right, great.
So it'll be just like my timeline of life.
Awkward, a bunch of awkward pauses between everything. Between life events.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Speaking of brewing,
yes,
brewing.
It's not just for witches anymore.
It's not just for people in their basement who are making a beer that they're like, this is great, and you taste it, and it tastes like a bunch of hoppy bullshit.
I was just thinking, I think that we've talked about brewing briefly, and I mentioned how honeybees are a thing that some people purchase and keep in their backyard because they're intense brewers. But then we talked about what role honey plays in the brewing process, and I still don't remember, and I didn't look it up.
I don't remember this.
What
I don't think
we talked
about this.
What is life but a giant circle? It definitely happened.
What?
Everybody, get on Twitter and remind Maria that we had that conversation before. And even if we didn't, get on Twitter and tell her that we did.
Do not lie to me
get
about the
Twitter
past.
Get on Twitter and tell Maria that we had that conversation about honeybees and brewing.
So the first time I heard about brewing, as I mentioned in the show open, I did not know what people were talking about. There's a show called The Brainstorm Brewery, and I was like, what does that mean? Brewing simply means creating a new deck.
Yes, that is exactly what it means. Or it can also be like making significant changes to a known deck.
Yeah.
Such that it's pretty much a new deck.
Yeah. So this is a constructed thing. I wouldn't say that I've been brewing a limited deck.
No, you're just draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
A limited deck.
So you build a limited deck, you brew a constructed deck if you're creating it from scratch or mostly from scratch. And it's something that before every pro tour or big event, professional Magic players or grinders are doing to try and get the edge on the local metagame or the national metagame, whatever.
Or the international metagame.
The international metagame.
Oh man, did you hear about all those astronauts on the international metagame?
Yeah, they just launched it
into
space.
It's pretty cool. It's a great project.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
Really,
doing a lot of experiments.
You know, Russia and the United States finally getting along.
I know,
it's
after
great stuff.
All these years. The international metagame.
So today we're going to talk about the who, what, when, where, why, and how of brewing. And when I wrote that down,
was there an answer to each of those that you had? Is that what
you
were going to say?
Yes.
I hope there was.
Yes. But also in elementary school, do you remember like a crime dog that asked
Scruff
those
McGruff.
Questions?
Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
But it's not Scruff McGruff. I'm talking about a different crime. Like,
there's only one crime dog, Megan, and
no,
it's Scruff.
Like, he was a generic crime dog.
Like somebody wanted to make Scruff McGruff, and then they're like, it's copyrighted. Make some dog.
That's what I'm saying.
Jimmy, the crime solving.
He had
hound.
He had a trench coat.
What?
And like, yeah,
this is a straight rip off.
Okay, and he had a hat.
Okay, are you thinking of Scruff McGruff right now?
did Scruff McGruff have a poster that said who, what, when, where, why, how?
Maybe.
Because that's definitely what I'm thinking
of. He has
of,
a lot of
but
posters.
But I feel like it's not Scruff McGruff.
I'm going to look up a picture of Scruff for you.
Okay, and search it with who, what, when, where, why,
okay.
And how. Because
Scruff McGruff.
Yes, because I need to know. But the point is, we're going to talk about the who, what, when, where, why, and how of brewing. First of all, we'll start with who.
First of all, was this the Scruff you remember?
No. It's definitely... Wait, was it?
He's going to take a bite out of crime.
I feel like, no, it's not. It was way, the crime dog I'm thinking of was like way more cartoony, way less realistic.
Crime dog. If you were going to make crime dog, what would it be?
Put crime dog poster.
Crime dog poster.
Who, what, when, where, why, how. Because it was reminding you that when you were writing a paper, you should put in who, what, when, where, why, how. Or maybe when you were doing a scientific investigation. It was elementary
school.
Or when
you're a journalist. How about this? Was it the movie Top Dog starring Chuck Norris?
Oh, that is what I was thinking of. That's correct.
That was my first
entire time
Google
I was thinking
image
of.
Search result.
None of these are what I'm thinking of. I'm going to find this. Point is, it's not Scruff McGruff, and it was a dog who asked those questions. Who can brew? The answer is that
anybody can brew.
Absolutely.
Unless you're under 21.
Shit.
What?
I said absolutely.
Oh, okay. Just remember to slap yourself every time.
Yeah, I will.
Or I'll do it. So, yeah. Brewing. Who? Everybody.
everybody brews.
What?
What? You can brew in any constructed format. If you enjoy playing Popper, that's a great format to brew in.
Yeah.
If you enjoy playing Modern, go for it, man. Standard, especially Standard. There's always decks that have not yet been found, and they might be competitive on your local scene. You can brew them in response to a metagame that you notice. It might be good for an upcoming like PPTQ or something like that. Or if you're going to a GP and you're like, hey, do you know what? I've got a great idea for this GP that I think is going to attack the format in a way that no one's expecting. And maybe I'll get an edge by playing a deck that people aren't prepared to play against. And yeah, they're not going to know what to do.
We saw this happen with the Modern Pro Tour, RIP, which was Eldrazi. So that was an example of people getting an edge on the metagame and just storming that Pro Tour.
And it really worked out for them.
Paid off.
So well. When are you going to brew? Whenever the heck you want.
In your dreams, perhaps. I know people have had brewing dreams. Have you ever had a brewing dream where you've dreamed of a sick, sweet brew?
I have not.
I've had, I think, only one Magic dream in my entire life. And I talked about it on the show when I reinvented the sealed deck format.
You had another Magic dream that you told me about that I won't tell people about.
No, that one cannot be repeated on air.
That just sounds way dirtier than the dream actually
is. I mean, it wasn't exactly not...
But it's not dirty the way that saying that you can't say it on the podcast sounds like.
Yeah,
it was just weird and honestly kind of creepy.
Megan, it was beautiful.
Oh, God.
Now people are going to want to know. I'm not talking about it ever. I'm never talking about it.
If you see me in person at an event and Maria's not around,
I swear to God,
you can come up and personally ask me. And I will
kill you.
I will tell you as long as we have a handshake agreement that you can tell no one else. So I will tell you in person, but you have to solemnly swear to not tell anybody else.
I actually wish I could tell everybody because it's hilarious.
It's actually hilarious.
But I don't know what my brain was doing that night.
Come find me. Come find me. I will tell you about it, what it was. But great times to brew include when a brand new set just came out,
yep,
obviously, because that's when new cards are entering the format. Old cards are rotating out. So there's new materials to work with, and there's definitely undiscovered decks. And it also means that the known decks, a lot of the times, are rotating out of the format.
Yeah.
So
why
there's
would
going
you
to
brew,
be,
Megan?
Why would you brew? Because, one, maybe you like it. Maybe you just have a gosh darn good time. It's how you enjoy playing Magic, which is a pretty sweet way to enjoy playing Magic.
Yep.
You also might brew, like we said before, because there's something, maybe your local metagame is kind of all, it's stagnant. Everybody's kind of playing their fixed thing. And you say, wait a second, if everybody, for instance, in my local metagame were playing green-white tokens, like, can I make a deck that's maybe not a great deck in isolation, but it is great, yeah, against green-white tokens. It's like, you know, like 60-40 in my favor. Then that's a pretty sweet reason to brew and a pretty sweet way to brew, because you're like, maybe if I get matched up against three green-white tokens and one that's not, I'll take the chance,
yeah,
against the one that's not, just because I have such a good shot of beating that green-white tokens deck.
Another reason you might brew is because you see a card in the current set that really sparks your fancy. That's a saying. For example, Megan and I are going to brew a deck for the Community Super League around a certain card that sparked our
fancy.
Peaked our fancy.
I peaked our interest. Struck our fancy. And
fluffed,
sparked.
It fluffed our fancy.
No.
I think when a lot of people saw the card, you know, for example, like Sphinx's Tutelage or whatever, that's a card that just asks to be brewed around.
Yes.
Because it gives you an unusual sort of doorway to a win condition.
And it had its day in the sun.
Yep.
Michael Majors won a Grand Prix,
yep,
out of nowhere with
out
a blue-red Sphinx's Tutelage mill.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. Beautiful
so
thing.
So if there's a card that you see in a new set and you're like, oh my gosh, I love this card. I want to marry this card. I want to kiss this card. Hey, maybe that's a good sign that you should brew a deck around it.
Do it, man.
Even if it's not insanely competitive, even if it's just something that you like playing the deck, You know, go right ahead and build your first deck. And I think brewing your first deck is really the difficult part, because sometimes you don't know where to start. And that's the final question, how? So how do I even start brewing a deck? Like, so I put in 4 copies of the card that I like. Okay, got it. Then I'm like, what else do I put in this thing?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I would recommend. The first one is there's a lot of resources online written by people who are brewers. Channel Fireball, for instance, every time that they go to the Pro Tour, whoever built the deck that they played, or people who were instrumental, because usually it's a bit of a team effort in that case, but the person who is kind of at the center of building that deck will write a whole article about, hey, this is how we came around to doing this. And while obviously you're not looking to net deck, you're not going to build that deck that they had, it's really interesting insight into the process of, okay, like, what did they do to build this deck? Also, Saffron Olive is a person who puts out a ton of different brews online that you can look at. And again, just like looking at what other people have done, in that case, like a notable brewer has done, is a good way to get inspiration. You can kind of look at, well, you can look at a deck and say, well, I wonder how, like, what made him choose this? What got him to this place? And there's always articles that go along with it that say, hey, this is kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, another good place to start is just taking a deck that might be similar to the idea that you're thinking of, putting those cards in and kind of going from there. So you say, all right, this is somewhat of what I want to do. I want to be more controlling, or I want to be more aggressive. Okay, I'm going to take out these cards, replace it with these. Oh, let me think about what other decks are currently in the metagame. So I'm probably going to need this card in my sideboard because this deck has this card in its sideboard. That sort of thing. And then that way you can kind of trim and add. And before you know it, you're probably going to have a completely new deck.
Yeah. And another way to go about it is to look for synergies. If there's a particular set of synergies that really interest you, that's another really cool way to do it. For instance, something like Sphinx's Tutelage, you're going to look for synergies that help you draw a lot of cards and abuse what Sphinx's Tutelage does, which is mill your opponent when you draw cards.
Yep.
So you're going to say, okay, if that's the card that I'm basing it around, what does that card do well that I'm looking to exploit?
That sounds like, sounds so down and dirty. Exploit those cards.
Yep. We mentioned also looking for cards that interest you. You can also look at, and a lot of teams that are going to the Pro Tour, going to Grand Prix, look at what's a really powerful card that hasn't found a home yet.
Yeah,
which is a super interesting way to look at it. Say, for instance, like this is a bad example. Actually, this is a good example, like Hardened Scales.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That didn't really have its breakout moment until Grand Prix Houston. And people can look at that card and say, man, like there's something powerful in here, but we haven't found where it goes yet.
Where does it fit?
Exactly. Where does that fit in? And there might be something there. If there's a super powerful card that's around, you know, find a home for it if you don't see one for it. And there's a good chance that you might strike upon something.
Yeah, and if it doesn't hit in, you know, one season, it might hit in the next. Once cards rotate out, a hole might open up where you're like, ooh, this card fits perfectly in there now.
For instance, if you had a really powerful 4/4 in the days of Siege Rhino, you could wait until Siege Rhino was blessedly gone with its stupid 4/5 body.
Yeah, that's like Grasp of Darkness, which didn't see much play before Siege Rhino was a thing. After Siege Rhino left, more people played Grasp because it was -4/-4. It could kill more things, and Siege Rhino was gone, so we didn't have to worry about killing Siege Rhino anymore.
I always worry about killing Siege Rhino.
Megan, if you were on a safari in Africa, would you shoot a rhino?
No.
What if it was specifically Siege Rhino? Like somehow...
Is it endangered?
I mean...
The answer is still no.
Oh, okay. Like, even if you saw it with wearing its stupid little thing that it wears in the card, and it's going around stealing your life.
I can't. It's a real rhino. If it's a real rhino, I can't do it.
What if it was a giant paper version of Siege Rhino?
Oh, then yeah.
Do you want to go to a shooting range and put up a target with Siege Rhino on it?
Oh, man. Can I go to an archery range?
Yeah, we can shoot an archery range.
Okay, then yes.
Oh my gosh, we now we have to. It's going to be so good!
So as with so many things that we talk about on the show, the best way to start brewing is to just go out there and give it a shot.
what?
We've been having so much fun brewing for Community Super League, which we'll talk about in a little bit, that it's such an enjoyable way, a new way for us to experience playing Magic. Highly recommended, whether you're playing silly casual formats with your friends or you're going to an event coming up and you're kind of bored with what's going on, or you think that you can really gain an advantage at that event by bringing something that's a little unexpected.
So, Megan, just the basics. If you're brewing a standard deck, in general, how many lands do you need to have compared to the rest of it?
A good rule of thumb, a good place to start is 35 spells, 25 lands. That's for just a pretty middle of the road deck. You might go up to as many as like 27, 28. That's really on the high end. But some decks, like control decks, ramp decks that are pulling lands out that need a lot of mana, they're very mana hungry, or the ones that are throwing those lands away a lot with like Tormenting Voices.
Yeah.
Might want a bigger number. Aggro decks are going to want probably fewer than 25. Again, the best way to do it is to play that deck a little bit and see, hey, am I drawing more lands than I ever need? Am I drawing, like, am I not hitting the land drops that I need to be hitting? It's a good place to start and then adjust either way once you've played some games with it.
I think something that we get asked a lot on the show is, should I buy Magic Online? Should I invest in this? And if you're brewing, that's something you want to focus on, it would be something I'd be more inclined to tell you, yes, you should do that. Because when you want to test a deck, there is no easier way than doing it on Magic Online and playing for free versus a lot of people with that deck to see how it performs. And if it's not great, you can trade it away and trade for different cards and mix it up. So,
Try out a league if you're looking to try something like a little bit more competitive, and a little bit of stakes in there, but still get a lot of practice in with the deck.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation. So get out there, put your brewing hats on, and let us know if you make anything cool, because we want to be the first. We want to be the first to know. You know, we don't want to be the last. The last to know, crying in the corner when you've made the sweetest deck that breaks the format.
I never cry in corners.
Where do you cry?
In the middle of the room.
I talk about an awkward silence. Magic Online Championship Series!
Hey everybody. As I mentioned earlier, this past weekend, there was the Magic Online Championship in Seattle.
AKA the Mox.
And so there were 3 whole days of competition.
What?
I know, right? You thought 2 days was a lot.
It's like a pro tour.
Sometimes I think 1 day is a lot.
Sometimes I think half a day is a lot.
But Maria, they played 4 whole formats.
What? 4 formats? Get 4 out.
4 formats? I won't.
Probably shouldn't, because we have a podcast to do.
I would leave, but then you would be here by yourself.
Good decision. Solid.
So they started out on Friday with Legacy.
Legacy!
A format which we understand so little of.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week when we were talking about the Vintage Super League.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we?
Did we? No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
Because that's Vintage, and this is Legacy.
Right. Same thing, whatever.
Old cards.
Old cards formats.
One of the coolest things that has the potential to happen, though, and I saw so many times when people cast Shardless Agent, which is a one green blue.
Shardless Agent.
And you cascade.
Oh, yeah.
It has cascade, so you reveal cards until you reveal one that has a lower converted mana cost, and then you get to cast it. And these Legacy decks run Ancestral Visions.
You cast without paying its mana cost, P.S.
Yes, that's right. That is correct. You just get to cast it. You can cascade into Ancestral Visions,
which is
the blue suspend card that draws you 3 cards, but if you cast it off Shardless Agent,
it just goes.
You just draw 3 cards.
That's sick.
Isn't that a baller?
I love it.
So there's a couple of decks called Shardless Sultai, which is always confusing because it sounds like Shardless Sultai would be without Shardless Agent, right?
Yeah.
So that would be Shardless-less.
What? Why is it called Shardless Agent? Because it's not a shard?
Well, it's called Shardless Sultai because it has Shardless Agent.
Yeah, but why is it called Shardless Agent? Like, have you ever felt like you were without a shard?
I mean, depends on what we're talking about. Shards of.
Like shards of Alara? Is that what's happening?
Like my sanity? Yes, I've often felt as though I am without shards of that.
Shardless.
So anyways, that's a particularly cool legacy
love
interaction.
That. Sounds fun.
It is.
I mean, we all want to cool. cast we Ancestral also, Recall.
I also got to see someone use Thespian Stage, which is a land that you can pay mana and have it copy another land, and Dark Depths.
Oh, yes.
Which is the one that comes into play with 10 ice counters, and you can pay to remove an ice counter, and when all the ice counters are gone, you sack it, and you get 2020 Indestructible Merit Lage token.
Merit Lage coming back. Eldritch Moon, I mean, Spooky Moon, mark my words.
I don't.
You don't? This okay. was where we used
we
to be,
talk
Megan.
We should talk about conspiracy theories after
yeah.
this.
Okay.
We'll put that on the list.
Great.
At the end of the episode, you guys, we're going to come with our Innistrad conspiracy theories and how they've grown.
Put it. Put JFK on that list.
JFK, okay.
I want to talk about that.
We'll talk about Innistrad conspiracy theories and also JFK
yep.
conspiracy theories.
And put aliens down.
Oh, God. Okay.
And then like Wi-Fi signals in the air. I want to talk about that.
Okay. And, anything else? Any other conspiracies?
Those are my top three.
That sounds good. Oh man, what are my top three conspiracies? I'm gonna have to think about this. I haven't had time to categorize my conspiracies. I feel like JFK is pretty high for every American though.
Yeah, thank you for actually writing them down.
I did. I mean, I didn't.
I don't actually want to. I mean, I could talk about him.
No, I mean, I feel like now that we've mentioned JFK, we should probably talk about our JFK
okay.
conspiracies.
Okay, perfect.
When we get to it.
So anyway.
Point is, what was I talking about?
Four formats.
Oh, wait. Merit Lage. Oh, so what you do is you copy Dark Depths with Thespian Stage. But the thing is that Dark Depths says when it comes into play, you put the ice counters on it. Thespian Stage is already in play, so it becomes a copy of Dark Depths without any ice counters on it.
So sick.
So you
Boom.
Immediately get Merit to Lage. Make a Merit Lage token. That deck is just called Lands.
Because
it does a lot of different
lands.
Things with lands.
Lands.
But the point is, Merit Lage, lots of fun.
Yeah.
So that was day one was Legacy and Standard. The next day was Innistrad Draft and Modern, or Shadows over Innistrad Draft
yeah.
and Modern. And then the final day was the top four. And get this, for the top four, it's best of three matches.
Oh.
So instead of playing three games and it being best of three games,
yeah.
you play three matches and it's best of three matches and each of those matches is best of three games. So for instance in the finals we saw them first play, I believe it first came down to a best of three. Was it first Legacy or was it Standard? It was Standard first. So Alexander Ivanov,
quick hold, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Say you don't play Magic and I say to you, this is the finals of a big event, Alexander Ivanov versus Niels Norlander, what do you think is happening?
Tennis.
I was gonna say chess. Alexander, what are you doing? You have the chessiest name I've ever heard.
That is a very chess name, but I feel like
I'm being so stereotypical Russian.
Yeah, I feel like I still go with tennis.
Are there big Russian tennis players right now?
No.
I mean,
is,
I can believe
Sharapova?
Either of them.
No, where is she from?
She's Russian, right?
She's from been using steroids.
You know, if we were guys, we would definitely know where she's from.
What? Are you saying that all men know where? What?
She was like the number one person to have a crush on when I was like in high school or
really?
College. Yes.
That's,
and I was always like, don't see it.
That's so surprising to me.
Yeah.
Isn't she kind of crazy?
I don't know. That doesn't matter when you have a crush on a famous person.
That's true. I feel like, but she did definitely recently get busted for drugs.
I don't know.
No, I'm telling you that
oh,
she did.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Okay.
I'm telling you
yeah.
that she did because there's this whole thing about how a bunch of her sponsors dropped her like really quickly.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. Speaking of
so
crushes,
anyways.
This is what I want to talk about in our 5-minute extra segment for the Patreon people.
Crushes?
Like our biggest crushes growing up.
Oh, man. You guys, now you know that mm-hmm. if you subscribe to our Patreon and you get the Patreon bonus this week, it will be all about our crushes.
Yes.
Wow. I'm going to have to really dredge up some memories. I don't
I know.
Remember.
I have a few top of mind, which are just great. You guys are going to just die because they're really dumb.
So So Alexander Ivanov and Niels Norlander were in the finals, and first they played a best of three standard match, which was red green goggle ramp with from Ivanov versus four color right from Norlander. Four color right, just a heck of a deck right now.
Yeah, it is.
Crushed the red green goggles.
I would think so.
Yes.
You know, this is interesting too because they get to choose the format they're playing.
That's true.
That's crazy. That would be awesome if at the Pro Tour you got to choose, you know, in the top eight, what are we going to play?
So in this case, Ivanov was the top seed of the match going into it, so he chose standard as their first format.
Oh, shoot.
Which is pretty cool.
Then Legacy was the next choice.
Yes. Legacy was, again, we didn't say this before. It was Sneak and Show from Niels Norlander, which uses cards like Show and Tell and Sneak Attack to put big old fat fatties like Emrakul and Grizzlebrand into play. Whereas Ivanov was playing... Did I write it down? I didn't write it down.
Some
other deck. Wait, no, he was playing Punishing Knight. That's why I didn't write it down, because I was going to mention that it revolves around the cards Punishing Fire and Knight of the Reliquary.
Oh, okay.
So, that's kind of cool. So anyways, and that one, Norlander also won. So again, it's like a best of three. So they didn't play the third format, which would have been Modern.
So what was interesting was the choice of Legacy came from Alexander. He wanted to play Legacy because he's played more than 3,000 Legacy matches.
That's right. That's
sick.
They were saying going into this, he's played like an insane amount of Legacy and not much of the other ones.
So he's just like, that's what you do. You just bank on what, you know.
You do what you do, man. Do what you know. Know what you do, do what you know.
The prize is also nothing to shrug at, which is why a lot of people want to play in the mocks, because the prize is $25,000. You get to go to the Pro Tour, and you also get invited to the Magic the Gathering World Championship, which is kind of like the number one event that you want to get invited, especially now that the prize pool has increased.
Yes. So many congratulations to Niels Norlander, the Dutchman.
Yep. From Dutchland.
From the Netherlands.
What?
The Netherlands?
Dutchland.
Is that a thing that you can call them?
The Netherlands is plural.
Okay. That's
but
true.
But is it one country?
The Netherlands?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why is there an S? Why isn't it Netherland?
I think it is Netherland.
Really?
Wait, is it?
No, it's not.
This is a really good question.
I want to know why it's the only country that has the in front of it, and what is that S doing
on
there?
It can't be the only country.
Name another one. I can't think of one.
The Vatican.
That doesn't count.
It's its own country.
I know, but it's, you know, the Pope do what the Pope do, and it's just like, okay, Pope.
Well, the Dutch do what the Dutch do.
It's like the People's Republic of the Congo, which isn't around anymore, but that was a pretty grand name, right? Or is that what they changed it to? I can't remember. But nobody's like the Netherlands. What if, I suppose, United States?
Yeah.
That's plural.
We're the United States. We have a the in front of it. What is wrong with you?
Well, I'm just saying we're like one chunk. And the Netherlands is like we're many chunks making up a big chunk.
Like, I don't know about you. I call it the Canada all the time. So.
The Canadas. The Canada. I mean, it's so majestic. It should be called the Canada.
Congrats to Niels Norlander.
Community Super League. Hey, everybody. Guess what? Another week has passed, and that means another round of the Community Super League, starring your favorite people or least favorite people from the Magic community.
But it has to be one or the other.
Yep.
It can't be anywhere in the middle.
Anywhere in the middle, get out.
It can be your favorite or your least favorite. Make a goddamn choice already.
The last week, we were brewing some fun decks based around tribal themes.
Well, some of us were brewing fun decks.
Yeah, that's true.
And some of us, ahem, the professor, were brewing decks meant
so
to
mean.
Crush our souls.
So mean!
We got handed our asses.
Yeah, our butts were on a platter.
By...
It's a disturbing image.
By Legacy Merfolk.
Turns out, quite strong.
Very good. Very good. During game two, Maria was like, I bet you he's playing Force of Will. And I was like, he wouldn't be that mean. And then we got Force of Will twice.
It was kind of funny, though.
That question.
Because our tribe that we chose was Hounds.
Hounds.
And our deck was called All Dogs Go to Heaven.
If you haven't seen it, you can check it out on the Community Super League website. We're very proud of it.
Yeah, I think it's a great deck.
It is full of dogs, ways to kill dogs,
yep.
And angels.
And angels.
And Angelic Destiny.
Uh-huh.
So...
Yep.
We liked it.
But we're being a little facetious when we say we're mad at the professor or whatever.
We're not. Everybody we're not really. had a different take and a different understanding of what was going on.
Yeah, some of us were just like, oh, we're going to build silly ducks. Like Marshall built an elk-themed deck complete with elk lands with elks on them. It was great.
Great.
And then Loading Ready Run almost brought Affinity.
They basically played Affinity.
Wedge had a turn 2, turn 3 kill deck. I can't remember what it was. So like
it was like some sort of reanimator with like World Gorger Dragon.
It's like not his fault. Like they didn't tell us be silly about it or be serious. It's just like half of us were like, oh, we're going to be silly. And half of us were like, oh, well, we're going to build a good deck. And so
either way, if you go back, if you didn't get a chance to watch it, we recommend it. You get to see some really powerful broken things. And you also get to see some very silly and fun things. Plus, we commentated a bonus round where we got to see, was it Paul?
Yeah, Paul versus
just
Aaron.
Drew, had like a hundred plus card deck.
Yeah.
Drew almost all of them.
Yeah.
And made so many angels off of Sigil of the Empty Throne.
It was great.
So go check that out. It is excellent.
You can find it on Magic the Gathering's YouTube channel. We also tweeted out a link at MTAcast. So this week, Megan, we are 1-2 is our current record.
Yes.
We have how many Brewmaster points?
I have no idea. Like 8.
I
think we have 8.
So we're doing sort of okay. We're like middle of the
pack. We're middle of the pack. We're at the lower end of the middle of the pack.
Yeah. Which is quite honestly where we feel comfortable.
We're the middle's bottom.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The middle, Magic the Amateuring. The middle's bottom. So,
all
like,
right.
What
are we talking about?
This week, we are going to each be picking a card from Standard, which is kind of a unique build around card. And we drafted those cards based on reverse order of our standings. And we'll tell you that the card we picked
is Alhamarit's Archive.
Yes.
It is very silly. It's a 5-mana. A legendary artifact from Origins that says if you would gain life, you gain twice that much life instead. And if you would draw a card other than the first card each turn, you draw two cards instead. So tonight we're going to be streaming a couple of funky brews that we've come up with around that. And people are going to have the opportunity to vote, which is also another note. Definitely watch the CSL. Yeah. And also, we've been kind of streaming some and giving people a chance to give us some input on our brews each week, as have a couple of other streamers like Kenji and Gabby.
Yep.
So definitely go check out those streams or follow their Twitters and find out when they're... Yeah, and then you can follow along and have some input and kind of learn ahead of time what to expect.
We have like 3 or 4 different takes on this deck, which is kind of cool.
I'm very excited for all of them.
So am I.
And it's going to be very goofy.
It's going to be better too because the decks are going to be more evenly matched power level wise.
That's true.
This week because we're not like playing Legacy ban list. What? Waka waka. This is Standard, so... Well, nobody can get too out of control.
But we will tell you that everybody has some exciting cards that I'm so thrilled to see.
There was no
boring.
There was no boring card you could choose.
No, some of them were like legitimately very surprising to me.
Yeah, me too.
Super excited. So by all means, come check it out. Also, we recommend checking out the Vintage Super League.
For sure.
As we mentioned last week, we're really trying to learn in that area because it's something that right now we have almost no knowledge of. And it's a really great way to learn because you get to see not only see these decks do their thing, but see these people who are playing a format that sometimes you don't get to see a lot of play or you don't get to hear a lot of commentary. You get to hear these players who know these decks talking about them as well as they do commentary for other matches. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So CSL coming at you Thursday nights, 5 p.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/magic. Vintage Super League, Tuesday nights,
5 p.m.
Pacific. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah. Same bat hour, same bat man.
same Batman.
We haven't talked in a while about what we think is coming in
Spooky
Moon.
Spooky Moon.
Part of why I wanted to talk about it is because I'm a little bit on the new train of maybe it's the Phyrexians.
Yeah, I heard about that theory. So what's that theory, Megan?
That theory is just that the Phyrexians, who have invaded other planes in the past, they tried to overlay a new plane on top of Dominaria.
It's weird.
Once upon a time. Yeah, they tried to like take another plane and put it on top of it.
So like they're making a scrapbook.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a page and they're trying to cover up the page, but lots of people were invested in the bottom page.
Got
it. Sure. They also, they took over Mirrodin and made it New Phyrexia.
Yeah.
So the thought is that is perhaps what is coming. And
but why are there tentacles and stuff? And why is there like allusions to water?
I don't know about that.
Explain that!
I just know that there is some stuff like, in the most recent story, if you didn't read it, with Avacyn, where Avacyn, Tamio, and Jace all get in a big old fight. It's very cool if you haven't read it. There was one, Tamio casts spells in like this way where she tells old stories from other planes.
Well, that's kind
of
cool.
It's super cool. And one, she told a story of mirrors, like a mirror creation myth, which is super cool. And so some people were like, well, it's interesting that you would bring that up.
Yeah.
Since it might be relevant. And also Avacyn was like, apparently they like heard this clicking noise, or like her voice kind of had a clicking noise. And
it's
that's
creepy.
Yeah. And that's associated with the Phyrexians.
Oh, really?
It's like this clicking. Yeah.
That's cool. That makes me want to make a horror movie out of Avacyn with like weird clicky voice.
Yeah. And so also something with like her eyes, and there was like a reference to kind of like,
and somebody
like,
saw a weird like an robot oily in it.
Like an oily darkness. So there were a couple of things in the most recent story that I was like, do you know what, all right, I can see it maybe being Phyrexians out of left field.
Do you know what I really love about your eyes?
How oily they are.
They're oily darkness.
Gross.
Would you
weird.
Like that compliment?
No.
Well,
no, I really wouldn't.
Okay, noted. Yeah, I'm still on the Merit Lage train just because really the only thing I can think of is that the paranoid Parish Blade with his little tentacle growing out of his arm. I'm like, why? And also Drown Yard Explorers, all this stuff involving water. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I'm convinced about that. I think that could just be because Nahiri is pulling whatever it is that she's pulling in that area, like she's using Nefalia Drowned Yard as her place to pull it. So whatever it is having its influence around the water.
What if it was Mark Rosewater?
Mark Rosewater is going to crash into Innistrad?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just a giant Mark Rosewater.
Yeah. Oh, wait, can I tell you another quick theory?
Yeah.
That I'm very on board with? Again, based on an official magic story from not that long ago, was one where when Soren went to go get Olivia Voldaren's help,
yeah,
because Nahiri is out and about and causing havoc, he also kept flashing back to when he got in an argument with Nahiri when she came and she came there and she got pissed at him. And this is back when the Hell Vault was still intact. And she's a lithomancer, so she can mess with stone, but she couldn't mess with the Hell Vault. And at the end of that story, it seems like it's super set up that Soren trapped Nahiri in the Hell Vault.
Whoa.
And like, that's why she's so pissed.
I mean, I would be mad.
She's just like, fuck you, dude.
I mean, have you ever been grounded in a Hell Vault?
So that's what some people are thinking is the thing. And I agree with it. And that, so Soren created Avacyn in the Hell Vault to protect Innistrad from outside influences. And we know that he has to kill Avacyn. And part of the thought is that, like, that's part of Nahiri's plan, is to make Soren have to kill Avacyn, and he's killing his own plane's protection, so that then whatever she's summoning is able to actually come in. Because right now, Avacyn's kind of keeping it at bay.
Interesting.
It's super good. Theories. I like them.
Theories. Speaking of JFK, conspiracy or not, your thoughts?
I'm on the thought that it wasn't What's-His-Face, Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
Or that, like, I believe that it was, like, a mob killing. I think that the mafia was behind it.
Do you think it was, like, the mafia that, like, the government inspired? Or, like, they wanted to hit on him for whatever their mafia reasons were?
I don't have a concise theory as to that.
Okay.
I just do believe that it was the mafia doing it.
Yeah, I also am a conspiracy theorist when it comes to JFK. And I do think there's a lot of people in the government that did not want him to be president. And they're very terrified of communism. And I think that some kind of deal went down. I don't know what. that some kind of deal went down, and it was oh so convenient that Lee Harvey Oswald was himself shot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then the guy who shot him was also shot.
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
So many people got shot.
I mean, like, seriously.
Wait, was he? No, he wasn't shot. Lee Harvey Oswald was, yes. But the other guy died in a hotel of an overdose or some shit like that.
Did he?
But he did, but people are like,
yeah.
He got killed, actually.
Yeah.
So anyways, good JFK talk, bro.
Yeah, thanks. I could talk about that all day. Well, everybody, that's Magic the Abjuring episode 173 ? For this week. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, consider becoming a patron on Patreon.
That's right. This week you'll get to hear all about our crushes.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about it.
I'm going to have to remember because I don't right now.
Anybody from $1 to $10 an episode gets to hear those. So donate at whatever level is comfortable for you if you enjoy the show from week to week. It means the world to us and we love our family of Patreon people.
There's also a couple of other prizes in the mix that you get depending on the level at which you donate.
Yeah, so it's great for us and it's good for you because I always think that supporting stuff you believe in makes you feel better. I mean, that's what I do. So anyway, patreon.com/mtacast. Of course, you can find us and follow us on Twitter at mtacast. Something else new, we are on Snapchat.
That's right.
MTA Cast on Snapchat. Follow us there for some snippety snaps we've been adding to our story now and again. So if you want to see some candid snaps from us, head over there. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll see something that I think is my personal Snapchat and it's not. And there you go. Whoops.
Also, I'm going to be at Grand Prix Charlotte this weekend. So if you're going to be there, by all means, find me and say hi. I'm going to be doing written event coverage. So you can find me probably in whatever area we've got set up for that.
And if you're not there, make sure to watch. I mean, you can't watch because there's
But you can watch GPLA. Yeah. So check it out. It's going to be a modern weekend.
What did I say? Read Megan's articles on dailymtg.com. That's where you can find her.
Do it.
Of course, GP Minneapolis coming up. We're getting ramped up for that. Pretty exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. Hope to see you there. If we don't see you there, give us a high five out on Twitter because we love connecting with people. Our email is magicallyamateuring@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of us. You can also send us messages through Patreon, Twitter, facebook.com/mtacast. We're there as well. Heck, we're everywhere. You look around the corner, there we are. You know, it's kind of creepy, actually.
Yeah.
Look in a mirror. We're standing behind you with a knife. Why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? Are you scared? You're pretty spooked right now?
Be scared.
Get spooked!